housing market gets hammered.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. We've been in a recession for about a year now, and it can be hard to remember that the housing market started this whole mess. Some bad news from that sector this morning. Applications for building permits were down in September, the biggest drop in 5 months. Here to talk about that with us is Chris Mayer from Columbia University's Business School. He joins us live. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Stacey.
So what do you make of the numbers out this morning?
Well, I wasn't terribly surprised. I think new construction is not going to be the place we're going to see a really big stimulus. There's still a lot of homes on the market, and we're seeing a lot of foreclosures in the process.
We also got word this morning that the IRS is looking into some fraud surrounding the first-time homebuyer tax break. What's going on with that?
Well, I think if you are asking somebody to claim $8,000 and saying, is this the first time you've owned a home, that's going to be fairly hard to verify. So I'm not surprised that there are people who are, you know, trying to take advantage of this who might not qualify.
Who doesn't need $8,000?
Yeah, it's easier to figure out what a clunker is than whether at some point in time you had previously owned a house or, you know, something else.
The tax break is going to expire pretty soon. What happens to the housing market when it does?
Well, this isn't going to be quite like what happened when cash for clunkers expired and, you know, new car sales fell, you know, 30% or something. But we are certainly going to, and we're already seeing signs that, you know, there was a rush to get into the market. And I think we're seeing some of those people kind of drop out now that they were able, you know, the people qualified and others didn't.
Well, let's hope it's not too bad.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think that this is as big a deal for housing, but I think we're facing a lot of headwinds. We're seeing unemployment rise. We're seeing, foreclosures, you know, start to go the other direction again. 1 in 8 mortgages in the country is 60 days or more delinquent.
Chris, I'm going to have to cut you off right there. Sorry about that. Chris Mayer with Columbia's Business School. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Good talking to you, Stacey.
Investors are not liking those housing numbers this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 0.75% to 10,014. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 both down about 0.7%. And the dollar also down this morning. Some good news out from companies. DuPont, Coca-Cola, Caterpillar, United Airlines all saw better than expected earnings. Thing is, a lot of the money companies are making right now is coming from cuts and layoffs, not higher sales. One company that is seeing higher sales, Apple. Last quarter, it sold more than 7 million iPhones. Meanwhile, longtime rival Microsoft is updating its operating system to try and boost sales, replacing the troubled Vista with Windows 7. Bob Moon has more.
Tonight only, in celebration of the release of Windows 95.
A decade and a half ago, crowds lined up for the new Windows at Midnight Madness sales nationwide.
You can get your copy of Windows 95 while they're still stock.
Microsoft can only hope its latest Windows launch makes a splash more like that over the yawn that met Windows Vista in 2007. The PC market counts on new Windows versions to spur sales, but Gartner researcher Steve Kleinhans remembers how Vista wasn't ready in time to lure in holiday shoppers.
Windows 7 is incredibly well-timed. It's arriving just as we see the economy starting to pick up and right in time for Christmas sales.
So what could go wrong?
Today, I don't think people are really all that excited about operating systems.
Kleinhans says the new software won't make old computers and other hardware obsolete as much as past releases did.
The operating system has become less of a driver in the sense of requiring people to move to a new platform.
PC sales are starting to bounce back, but they could use some sizzle. Sales of Macs have bounced back stronger. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources, producemoreconservemore.com.
Book sales are pretty flat these days. One genre that still sells well, though, chick lit. You know the books, hot pink covers, soul-searching topics like shopping and landing the perfect man. Thing is, readers of the fluffy fare aren't feeling so fluffy these days. Eve Troeh has more.
It started with Bridget Jones and her diary.
Daily call from Jude, best friend, head of investment at Breitling's Bank, who spends most of her time trapped in the ladies' toilet crying over boyfriend.
The 1996 book was a bestseller. The 2001 movie grossed more than $280 million. By 2006, the New York Times Review of Books declared a chick lit pandemic. Books like Confessions of a Shopaholic and In Her Shoes sold millions of copies. The 30-something heroines with their high-paying jobs and high-limit credit cards spent their way through their troubles. Now, the recession's hit, and the ladies of Chick Lit are feeling the pinch. Publishers Weekly deputy editor Jonathan Segura says the stories have to change.
To not address it is one thing, but to have a book that sort of flies in the face of what's actually happening is a whole thing altogether.
Author Sarah Bilston wrote Sleepless Nights last year. It's about a corporate lawyer juggling work and a new baby. Before it was released in the U.S. this summer,
I read the first page again, having not read it for about 4 months, and my heart sank.
It described a glitzy party with people talking about lavish vacations.
By about page 200, my head was in my hands.
Bilston rewrote whole chapters of the book. Wall Street lawyers traded swagger for anxiety. The heroine's choice between work and family got harder.
When difficulties strike, characters do have to think on their feet, and I think it makes them actually a lot more vibrant.
Another author, Sarah Strohmeyer, didn't have to rewrite. She saw disaster coming and wrote The Penny Pinchers Club.
People weren't at jobs earning enough to make the mortgage payments. You knew something had to give.
Her heroine starts buying in bulk and dumpster diving. Strohmeyer says Chick Lit is really about strong women, not just glamour. And a job loss or foreclosure gives those women a chance to triumph.
First thing you're going to do if you're a true Chick Lit person is you're going to say, I can do it. All I have to do is get myself looking good, get my friends, and figure out how we're going to handle this. And somewhere along the way, you're going to meet some guy.
A new catchphrase to describe these stories is already bubbling up. Recessionista lit. In Los Angeles, I'm Eve Trow for Marketplace.
I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith with the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.